Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
FM. It is the 19th of March, 2026, and today is the spring equinox. It is the, well, tomorrow's the spring equinox, actually. Today is the officially the last full day of winter. Sometime around noonish Eastern time tomorrow, we transit into spring, and the light returns and rebirth and renewal, and we'll wake up to a world where people are cooperative with each other and where tariffs are dropped and people trade freely amongst nations, where people speak well of each other and really respect each other. And I'm probably hallucinating like a chatbot or something, but we can always hope.
Hey, everybody.
Spring reigns eternal. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody, again.
And he said it's the 19th of March. The world is in a pretty desperately craptastic place. Spring renewal or no spring renewal. The world economy is actually kind of hanging on by a thread right now. Is the Straits of Hormuz remained closed, and this idiot war of choice continues on. Okay, so SEOs who rely on Search Console are disappointed this morning. Search Console is so slow; it's so behind. It's like it's not even there. I got one account that's 24 hours behind, another account that's 10.5 hours behind. Both of them are only reporting data from Sunday the 15th.
Yeah, same here in the States. Jim is in Canada.
Maddening.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you're seeing the same thing, and I put up on Facebook much earlier today that it was slow, and I'm getting reports from people in Europe that it's going slow for them as well. SEOs need data like junkies need junk. This isn't really crimping my practice too badly, and it's not the end of the month until next week, so no need to really panic because it's not quite reporting time yet, but I don't know. This kind of sucks.
Yeah, because you kind of need data, especially if you're like, you have a trend going on your data. Like maybe it's going up or maybe it's going down or maybe it's better this year or worse this year. So you kind of need the data so you can start making fixes or, accelerate the growth. And it's 4 days behind again. This happens frequently, unfortunately.
Well, okay, so it does happen kind of frequently, and then Keith Good, the former head SEO at IBM, he's seen stuff. He wrote back saying 72 hours isn't really out of whack for Google, but I don't know. Like, I'm used to a 24 hour leg being the normal, and every once in a while it falls behind.
Sometimes, a lot of times it's like 36 hours behind for me, but once we get to 72 hours to what, 96 hours?
Yeah.
Usually does start to put out a report or something, but oddly they're telling us it's been updated recently, but it hasn't been.
Maybe it's constipated. a little bit of fast acting relief there, Google, and we'll all feel better. Okay, and you know what? Why don't you try rubbing some turmeric oil on it on Google? That might make everything better. So
I do like turmeric.
Well, Google's removed the what people suggest, sort of like an expanded AI tool, or sorry, expanding its AI tools.
Yeah.
When people did a search for health information, Google would pop up a little thing underneath, giving, suggestions from people who also deal with that kind of ailment. They've stopped
Yeah,
doing that.
I organized these health perspectives from online discussions. This was frustrating me so badly a few weeks ago because I was trying to get some important information for a friend. And I was getting, not only that, I was getting social media posts too. I was just like, what the? I need real information from real websites. So, anyways, I decided to take that out, confirmed by the Guardian. So they're going to put in an ask button. And it's going to take you to YouTube videos, which makes YouTube way more important if you have a health site right now. As YouTube is always important because it's the second largest search engine in the world, but after Google. But yeah, they're gonna have you click on a button and it's gonna show you YouTube videos, which I don't know if that's better, but at least somebody else is responsible for the content that's put out there.
Well, so my mind now immediately jumps to YouTube video pages. Is
Watch pages?
well, yeah, YouTube. I'm sorry, YouTube watch pages. I think that actually suddenly this is. I mean, you were able to ignore it when video, if unless video was like critically important to the messaging of your website. Now I think it's, if you're publishing health information or any information really, given AI mode and Gemini's ability to ream through text and video, it's kind of important now that you set video on your page exactly as Google asks you to.
Yeah, watch pages are incredibly important. If you have videos on your site, you must have watch pages for Google to surface them well or at all. So you can Google watch pages, Google Developer Docs. You always have to put Developer Docs, otherwise it doesn't come up, and it will help you create those watch pages. But this is, sometimes when you do that, sometimes the video from YouTube will show up, sometimes the video from your site will show up. This is also, and they get a trillion views globally on health-related videos on YouTube. So it just looks like Google's just going to send, all the health-related ones to YouTube, up those numbers. So.
I still say that video watch pages are a form of web pollution, but
Yeah, I agree. I
Google
agree.
will disagree with us on this one, I think.
No, they're probably just fixing an issue that Google couldn't fix. Because remember how you get that notice all the time? Your video isn't the main video of the page. And you're like, it's the only video on the page. Why does Google think it's not the main video? And then Google came out and said, I think it's probably a year ago, but most sites still don't know about it. It says watch pages. And the only thing on a watch page is basically the video and the title and the description. That's it. So
Well,
it's a way
and
for
most
them to be
importantly, the unique URL.
the unique URL. And so Google's able to pull those as a video, as the main video, as a video that you want. They can just be, to themselves. I just quietly link from the page, like watch video here, like very small text with a link. So users don't go there, but Google knows it's there.
Okay, so this is a couple of days old. This was information that was updated, or there was an update that came out on March the 15th. There are a few 0-day alerts that are out for the Chrome browser, which is well, for half of you, this means you. More than half of you,
Yeah.
probably, this
And
means you.
for those that don't know, a 0-day is a exploitation that has never been seen before. So there is no protection for it. So when you get notification to update your Chrome browser, you probably already have gotten it. Do it now. Don't wait.
Yeah, I mean, mid-show, stop listening to the show, update your Chrome browser, start listening again. It's really important that you do this. Don't worry about different types of versions. Just go update.
Yeah, the good news is this was discovered by Google, but they do know attacks on this vulnerability have started. So I'm not going to get into all the details that would bore everybody to death, and they're very detailed. You can read about this Google 0-day alert for 2.5 billion Chrome users on Forbes. They have it on there right now. So.
Okay, so we make this announcement once a week. I'm gonna try to go through as quickly as possible. When Christine and I got into our careers, we each got in because we saw the internet as a means of bettering the world, of making this a better workplace, better place to live, better place to communicate, just a better world in general. And in many ways, I think it's really met that promise, but in some ways it hasn't, and in a whole bunch of ways it hasn't. And matter of fact, with the rise of the technoligarchs, they're kind of in shitifying the internet so badly and turning it into well, a weapon of mass destruction. This is a section we call From the Abyss. It's kind of like looking into the dark hole, or a very dark part of the industry that we all work in. So the Pentagon has integrated AI into planning, operations, logistics, communications, into all aspects of its work. And if listeners will remember how there was this big fight between the I guess we should call it the Department of,
Anthropic,
well, the
yeah.
Department of War right now and
No. It's the
Anthropic.
Department of Defense. It's not
No,
officially
there's not a
everything
lot. Well,
changed.
if they were defending anything, I'd go with that, but I don't really. Anyway,
So
Anthropic
that.
told the Pentagon it's not allowed to use its AI to autonomously kill, to be attached to a robot that'll make autonomous life and death decisions. And it's also told the Pentagon that it can't be used for mass surveillance of American citizens. The Pentagon was like, yeah, well, we can do anything we want to do, so screw you, and declared Anthropic a supply chain. What do they call it?
Oh, you were asking a supply chain.
Well,
They
any.
basically they label them in a way that they're considered potential. That's usually reserved for things like China
Yeah,
and Russia.
dangerous to to national security,
Right. Yeah.
basically. Do what we want you to do, or we will deem you na dangerous to national security and make it really hard for other people in government to play with you.
And
So
so, yeah.
they made this decision. I'm going to give this over to you in a second, Christine, because you're going to find this mind blowing. They made this decision after integrating Anthropic's AI Claude through the Pentagon's entire system. So now they got to get it out, right? Pete Hegseth, the secretary of whatever the hell he wants to call himself, ordered that they be de-anthropicized within 30 days. How do you, how do you, is that possible?
No, first of all, removing Claude, this is from Yahoo News. Removing Claude is going to be a massive undertaking. For example, Palantir's Maven Smart Systems, a software platform that supplies militaries with intelligence analysis and weapons targeting, uses multiple prompts and workflows that are built into the Anthropic Claude code. According to two people familiar with the matter, Palantir, which holds these contracts with the Defense Department and other security agencies with a potential value of $1 billion, will have to replace Claude with another AI model and rebuild its software, one of the sources said. Also, internally, the people that use this do not want to give it up. They do not like the other models. They don't think they're as good. Claude is what they have determined internally with the people who work with it is the best model for the work that they're doing. So now they're slow rolling it. They're refusing to give it up. They are not removing it from their systems. So I don't know what Hegseth is going to do about that. He certainly can't fire them all. I mean, I guess he could try. But right now, the people internally are kind of doing a little soft revolt and not moving to the other system, not undoing what's there and not helping him because I don't think the other system is as good.
Okay.
There was.
I don't see how you take the learnings of the learnings is a weird word, but
That's correct, though. Large language models, they have learnings from what they've trained on.
yeah,
And you can't
okay.
just replace them. It's very
Maybe called
complicated.
Anthropic, but I'm always afraid of anthropopizing the AIs themselves. But anyway, how do you weed the interaction between Claude and any other AI and all the stuff that Claude's already groused through out of the system.
Right. It's, we're not going to have the details of that in any news story because that's all classified. But
No, but put
basically,
your you're a fucking
yeah.
excuse me, you're a developer. Put your dev brain to
Oh,
this.
no,
How do
I
you do
know.
it?
I'm saying, like, I've worked in dev groups a good portion of my career, probably 80% of my career. And there is not going to be any easy way to do this. You're going to have to retrain the new models with the data that you had. You can't take the data out of Anthropic and have it train the new model. That's not possible.
It's
But like,
already in.
yeah. So if you had a
Yeah.
database system, then you would just, have the model work with the databases. But it doesn't work that way with a large language model. Once it's trained on all this stuff, the new model also has to be trained on all this stuff, and it has to go back through the systems and do that. And all the people in place have to, make that happen. So they're slow rolling. They don't want to change. And also, honestly, he doesn't have a lot of respect for the people internally. This is not me speaking. This is from people from those groups that have left. But so there isn't any easy way to do this replacement. Definitely not in 30 days. We just said Palantir will have to recode most of its software. That's not something that's going to happen overnight, even if they use vibe coding with supervision. That's still going to take a bit. So they'll have to recode it, test it, and that'll take months. And then retrain it. That'll take months because you have to make sure there's nothing bad in the training, right? And then you have to integrate it, and you have to have the people want to integrate it and use it. So I'm thinking you're looking at a minimum of 6 to 9 months before they could actually make that happen if they wanted to make it happen. And if they're going to slow roll, who knows how long.
And to be honest, I think that $1 billion you estimated a few minutes ago in the story is very, very conservative or very, very optimistic.
Yeah. What they are doing is they're making the contractors and major defense firms assess and report the reliance on Anthropic products and to begin winding them down. But again, you could slow roll that for a very, very long time.
Okay.
So.
Note to the People's Republic of China. If you're going to develop a super secret spy plan. No. There's nothing wrong with developing super secret spy plans. Everyone does it. But if you're going to do it in a super secret environment, not on ChatGPT. Because I can
And why
promise
didn't they
you,
use their
OpenAI will catch you.
own DeepSeek is also my question. So this isn't even a spy operation. This is online harassment campaigns for foreigners in other countries that are dissidents. So they targeted them. I will not be able to say the name right. I'm so sorry. Sine
Sunny
Takayuki,
Takahashi.
Japanese first female prime minister after she criticized human rights in Inner Mongolia. Well, they wanted to discredit her. So they smeared her with fake online posts and things like that. But they also followed dissidents and tried to harass them online. And in some cases, they were successful. And in other cases, they weren't. So the ChatGPT user that they had recorded that their unit made over 50,000 posts across 200 Western platforms under 150 posts received and 300 shares or comments. That's actually pretty low engagement. They'd also impersonate Chinese operatives or dissidents with fake accounts and fake, posts to make it look like they weren't really who they were, or they would try to use those to discredit the person. So quite interesting in the fact that they used ChatGPT and not their own AI, DeepSeek, and they have a couple other models right now. They escape my brain, but it's just kind of weird. So
I can understand why they'd use the non-Chinese AIs. No markers to put it back to China. Or fewer
that's true
markers.
too.
It might take a few more minutes to figure out who's doing this. That's what I reckon.
Yeah, that's true. That would make sense. I'm not really sure how they figured all this out or who figured it all out. It doesn't say it in the article, but I mean, it's been used before, but just interesting that China decided to use it. Terrible for the people that are dissidents who are being harassed and discredited, though.
Okay. So, Anthropic did a paper on looking at AI job losses
Which,
and
by the
trying
way, I
to. Sorry?
just need to interject because it's not in the article because this was written yesterday. They took this thing down that they have in the article about job losses, jobs that are threatened. They took it down today.
Hold on,
No
but they took down
explanation.
the whole graph and everything that sort of like splayed out different. Oh, really? Your chances of losing your job? Because it looked pretty bad for folks like us.
It did. Actually, anybody who's in a white collar job,
Like a
they
100%
also.
chance of losing your job.
And also, I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't put this in, and I should have, but there was a presentation, I guess is the best way to say it, given by the head of Palantir, I can't remember his name, saying how they were working on their models to make sure that women's jobs or jobs that women are involved in heavily are also highly targeted, so that women won't be able to work in high-skilled professions. It literally came, but it's in a
That's
video.
Republican Gilead sort of stuff.
Yeah,
Well, unsurprising,
the,
given what he was saying last week about
no.
removing women's democratic rights, going after people who tended to vote
Similar thing.
Democrat, which tend to be professional women, educated professional
Yeah.
women, that sort of stuff. So yeah,
Well, it's
unsurprising
similar.
he'd say
Yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah. That they're trying to make that they're sure that their large language model would target more women's jobs than men's.
Okay, well, Anthropic did do a study that showed what it thought would be the most targeted and most exposed job or career paths in the new AI era. Bottom line, if you work with your hands moving tools, you're probably okay. If you work with your brain moving ideas, you're going to get squashed like a little bug. That seems to be the future, according to the folks who used all the information that we ever created to make thinking machines do the thinking for us and are now ready to sell the output of those machines back to us.
Yeah,
Raw deal.
and well, yeah, and it goes even further into how these models are destroying the human internet. And so they think that this is a paper, Anthropic did. It wasn't just like a quick thing that they did in house. But they are the 404 Media has this article, and what they're saying is that the job loss research ignores how AI is destroying the human internet and how it's destroying interactions and creative. Because the paper was originally written about the creative arts and the zombification of the internet and all these things. So they want people to start considering, especially as companies, how they're not just replacing jobs, but how they're destroying the human creation of what is known as the internet. So.
Yeah, well, I hate to say this. Honestly, I think for most people, if it gets them home before 5 o'clock, they're happy. If it makes
Yeah,
their
it's
job
unfortunate.
easier, if it keeps them from getting fired, they're okay.
Yeah,
That's horrible and dumb and self-destructive. But when have humans ever been different?
well, the thing is, I think for this is most people don't know all the negatives of what this technology does, and it does a little magic for them at home or at work. And if something does a little magic for you, and technology is always, so what was that famous quote? The best tech appears like to be magic, something of that nature. It was Steve Jobs or somebody very famous. And I think that's why they don't know. And they also, it does this little magic for them, and so they're happy to continue using it.
I mean, the little magic that people do for this is like, AI porn and, creation of, not consensual AI porn. Like,
Well, yeah,
that's
apparently in
what
this
people are using
article,
AI for.
well, apparently, yeah, in this article too from 404 Media. They didn't include Anthropic's research did not include popular uses of a jailbroken version of Claude, which I didn't know existed until I read this, are very popular among sex bot enthusiasts. So,
Sex bot enthusiasts.
yes, I don't even
Don't
know what
in
a sex bot enthusiast is. I'm afraid. I'm sure it's a chat bot that talks about sex, but I'm not sure.
No, there's
I
actually
know there are sex
and
bots,
we
but.
actually in my neighborhood in North End of Toronto, we had to stop a sex bot brothel from opening up. Not that people shouldn't be able to have sex with bots if they want to, but the idea that people would abuse these bots and then take that abuse and take it out into the real world community was what really frightened us. So, at least successfully. There was,
Yeah.
seriously, in an industrial area of my neighborhood, they were going to open a sex bot brothel.
Oh, I'm not laughing because of that. I live in Vegas and they have the AVN Awards, Adult Video Awards, and CES, and at both of those this year they premiered Sexbot. Friends sent videos at those, as like the new breaking innovative form of adult entertainment. I don't know how we segue
Truly amazing.
out of
Truly,
that
welcome to Webcology here on the Disney
one.
Channel. Okay, oddly enough, at the end of the sex bot story, we're walking out of the abyss.
Yes, yeah, I can't stupid.
There's a last thing on sex bots and Vegas. Margaret Atwood's Whence Comes the Heart. Oh, I'm sorry, Last Goes the Heart. Margaret Atwood, sex bots in Vegas. That's all I got to say. You need to read it.
Google it, folks.
Honestly, Elvis bots and Vegas. Read, it's so worth it. Okay. OpenAI is prepping for an IPO. They expect it by the end of 2026. And they're really, really, really pushing the concept that ChatGPT is a productivity tool.
I actually have to push that concept for the IPO. It's pretty mandatory according to internal documents. This is a story at CNBC. I would say for those that have been removing themselves from ChatGPT, your $20 account is 12,000. I mean, sorry. What is it again? I just lost it in my brain. Oh my gosh.
You know,
The $20.
do a 1 to 10,000 ratio, and that's probably how analysts will look at.
Yeah, it's worth the $20,000 on their market cap for the IPO. So for the 2.5 million they canceled, it's a lot more than just 40 million, right? 4 million,
Now,
$8 million.
business and business applications is where the money is. It's always where the money is. There's B2B and B2C in marketing, and I don't know about you, but I prefer the B2B part. Because I've made a lot more money in that space than I have in the B2C part. Like I said earlier, the AIs, ChatGPT, among colleagues, have hoovered up all the world's information and created thinking machines, and they're going to sell back the ability to think to businesses. Wait till you see what happens when businesses get really addicted to this ability to think faster. They're going to up the price like crazy.
You know, the other thing though is right now, according to their projections, they're only projecting 280 billion in revenue, total revenue by 2030. The whole industry, according to firms like, oh, why am I? I'm having a day. The big firms that analyze the markets, anyway, Goldman Sachs. The industry needs to make $1 trillion a year to break even, and OpenAI is 90% of that industry right now. If they're only making 280 billion, that is pretty low compared to what it's been said they need to make. There's also another side to this, and probably why they're going to IPO. They are predicted to maybe go broke by next year. So if they go IPO, or if they go IPO, then they'll make a ton of money from that.
I'd heard rumor, and I don't have a story to corroborate this. I haven't got a URL to corroborate this, except just rumors from the techie grapevine. Hasn't OpenAI told division heads to shut down extraneous projects? Like, if this isn't about core mission, then let's not do it for now.
I do believe there was an article about that because I read it in our, I read a bunch of articles for our grid for people who don't know every week. But under the Code Red effort that they did in December, I do believe that that was part of it, that the company pulled back on other investments, especially in areas like health, shopping, and advertising that is in this article from CNBC.
Well, because they know that funding's running short.
Yeah, and he said originally it was going to be like $1.4 trillion this, that he told investors that they were going to target. He also doesn't have enough money for compute power. We've talked in other articles. They are limited by the compute power they can afford at this time. So the IPO is probably the thing that will either, if it goes through, they'll be sailing along for a while. And if it doesn't, I don't know if they'll be around a whole lot because they're burning money like crazy.
Interestingly, it was OpenAI that figured out that throwing more tokens at it is the solution. That was their
And then
big
what
that was
happened?
their great big innovation.
Yeah, and then it wasn't. And then I found out that doesn't actually fix the things that they're trying to fix.
Well, increase the number of parameters. No, it doesn't fix the training on the knowledge base that it's training on problem.
Or no, it doesn't fix hallucinations either. That's what they're trying to do with
But
it.
it did allow the GPT model to vastly understand things better vastly get context better when using conjunction with BERT, and then put out a whole generate responses based on the understanding it had, based on the work that BERT was doing. I just did
Yeah,
this
that
whole
was
deep,
from
I just
that.
did this whole crazy deep dive into the history
That
of
was from, yeah, of LLMs.
didn't mean to, it just sort of worked out that way. Now I'm stuck with this,
Yeah.
like I'm at 4,500 words, Christine, and I don't know what to do. And I wrote them all myself.
Jim is a very, very good writer. By the way, your March also.
I meant to write a small blog post, and it's now 4,500 words because I went on
Well,
this deep dive.
my
I blame
first
the
talk
pot.
on my first talk on BERT back in 2018, I read 80 research articles because it was brand new. No one
And the
had
truth is,
done it before.
Bert wasn't made to be that interesting. It was just made to grind away in the background.
Yeah, I know people in SEO thought there's all sorts of SEO things to do. And like, no, it's so big because it enabled them to disambiguate words from a sentence and then predict what word, which is what Sam Altman used to create ChatGPT to predict the word in the sentence. So that's where BERT came from. Yeah, BERT was just originally a way to make it faster and use less resources to analyze text for natural language programming. That's really
Yeah,
where it came from.
if only it
Yeah.
worked out that way, eh?
Yeah. By the way, along with what we were saying about the finances, the March all hands meeting at op that OpenAI just held is moving with the same urgency that it did in December. They're still under a code red. So,
That may be what I was hearing about then. Did
yeah,
that
probably.
happen like just last week?
I don't know exactly the day, but sometime last 2 weeks since it's the 19th. So,
Yeah, there's a. Anyway, the techie talk in Toronto is go slow. Okay. OpenAI needs money. OpenAI has ads. I don't think these ads are going to make OpenAI all the money it needs to make, but online digital advertising is seriously a pot of gold. So OpenAI is moving really fast down the ads front. The online magazine Adweek has reported that OpenAI is currently testing Ad Manager for ChatGPT advertisers, a platform in which you can run, monitor, and optimize your campaigns.
yeah, they're really going to need the ad thing to take off for them because of their, like I said, they're only going to make 280 billion by 2030, and this year they need to make a trillion as an industry. So
Okay,
we'll
so
see
they're
what
not going
happens
to
though. I
break
don't know.
even this year. They probably
No.
won't break even next year or the years after. But when maybe they'll make their money on all the savings from folks like us. Maybe they need more money because they're getting sued left, right, and center. Encyclopedia Britannica is suing OpenAI over copyright infringement. It's funny, the headline from TechCrunch reads alleged copyright infringement, but that's not what they're suing them over. They're suing them over something they believe to be very real copyright infringement.
Yes, because there's full and partial. Sorry, go ahead.
Britannia says OpenAI scraped thousands of its online articles to train its AI mo models, and now they produce responses that closely mirror what Britannica had published.
Yeah, they're full or partial verbatim reproductions of its content when the AI lab uses its articles in ChatGPT's RAG, retrieval augmented generation workflow, for anybody in search or anybody just regular person. RAG is basically AI search. When it originally came out, the LLMs wrote crazy stuff because they weren't grounded in a set of documents. So now they pull back a set of documents based on a search engine that they use, then they summarize them. So that's what they're talking about when they say RAG. So, this is a TechCrunch article, by the way. So their argument, of course, is like everybody else, it starts with publishers, and we're going to have some articles today about that. Revenue by generating responses to users' queries to substitute and can directly compete with content from publishers. The problem is that often they don't come out exactly word for word. So then it's hard in court to prove that it actually happened. But ChatGPT, here's the unique part of their case, though, is trademark infringement. Britannica alleges ChatGPT's hallucinations jeopardize the public's continued access to high quality and trustworthy information online. Basically, Britannica goes through all this work to fact check and put everything into their publication, right? And then it hallucinates information and claims that it's, that they'll do a Britannica reference citation, and it's not correct because it's hallucinated. So that makes
So they're citing the Britannica, in against copy that they've generated, but
I'm sorry, copyright infringement,
it's
yeah.
not the exact copy that was in the Britannica, but they're
Right,
citing it.
sometimes. Yeah,
No,
so
Britannica's got a
it's,
point. Britannica has a point
yeah.
because they have a brand, and if Google is helping, or oh, sorry, in this case, OpenAI is basically saying this comes from Britannica, but it didn't actually come from Britannica, and is wrong. That's kind of like punching the Britannica brand right in the head, right in the
Yeah, and
brain.
that's exactly. So that's the unique part of their case here, is that they are saying you are hurting our trademark, our brand, on top of copyright infringement. So we know, like, the New York Times sued, and Ziff Davis and
I was
Mashable
about to say,
CNN,
you
all
got
those.
the Chicago Trib, the Denver Post, Toronto Star, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Can't all of them say we're news gathering organizations? This is how we reported this. Different over here, but you cited us. Wouldn't they be able
If
to have the same
this
argument, I think?
Yeah, if this wins and sets that precedent, for sure, I bet all of those will start doing that. Apparently, they have very good creative lawyers who found a unique way to address this case. And it does make sense. You are hurting their brand if you're using their content and it's not correct, because it's Britannica. I mean, that's been around since what, my grandparents have been, or my great grandparents have been around. Like, it's been around a very long time, but it
It's
has a
been around since
reputation.
the early 1900s. And a quick disclosure, 20 years ago, Encyclopedia Britannica was a client of
Oh,
mine.
that's right.
I should have said
That's
that at the
very
beginning of the
cool.
story.
That's okay. They're also suing Perplexity, by the way. So, anyways, I think it's something that people should watch, because it could set precedent, and that could make the large language models have to take a double take and a little bit of a pivot, because they did train on all this material. So,
Well, if they do take a pivot, I can guarantee you how ChatGPT is going to react. They're going to turn on video. Okay, so ChatGPT has delayed an adult mode because they, I guess they kind of had to debate what adult mode would look like. So they tried to, they're trying to protect younger users and those who may become unhealthily attached to the ability to generate porn. ChatGPT's adult mode will allow text, but no video or no images. So you can
Or
have
audio.
or audio. No audio either?
No
Wow,
audio
so
either, yeah.
you can have sexy text-based chats with ChatGPT, but you can't watch ChatGPT do its thing, you nasty, nasty person, you.
It is a little concerning, some of the internal names they used. But this is probably be this carefulness now is probably based on the lawsuits where people had harmed themselves. So, because they have several of those going right now at a minimum. So they did call it, this is going to be called Naughty Chat.
Naughty chat.
Naughty
Oh,
Chat, yes.
that'll get the gooters going.
Yep, this is going to be called Naughty Chat. So
Okay.
yeah, we'll see what's happened. And yeah, we go from there. We do not need to discuss this. I did not put it in the grid because it's so horrific. I just want to mention it in relation to this. There is character AI, remember them and all the trouble they got in the past with, like, Disney characters doing sexy things and stuff like that. Apparently, they now have a Epstein Maxwell
No, you know
body.
what? I
Yeah, we're not gonna discuss it. I just
wow.
want to let yeah, I just want to let people know
You're
character
kidding
AI
me.
is. No, I'm not. It's a story. I just didn't want to put it in the grid because we don't need to
Who
discuss
whose
it.
AI does this?
Character AI, the one that's been in trouble before for, like, Disney characters doing, like, smoking and drinking and doing sexy things.
All of which is hilarious, but the other thing you just mentioned is disgusting.
Yes, and also those ones kids had access to. That's why they got sued. And that's why they
Wow.
pulled back. And now they have that going on. Yeah. It's pretty bad. We desperately need regulations on this
Okay.
tech. Yeah. Anyway.
This is, I don't think this is in our grid either, but today the metaverse died. Was declared
Oh, it
dead,
is in there.
dead,
Yeah.
dead, dead,
It's
dead. Oh, it is in there? Well, we'll get to that if you
in
miss it.
there. Yeah, it's a couple stories down. Yeah. We could talk about it now if you want to.
May as well, now that we've already gotten there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the metaverse is dead. I guess
So
after
they.
investing $80 billion in trying to develop a place where our cartoon variants of us, our cartoon avatars, will go hang out with each other. Zuckerberg killed it.
Yep, basically. It's $80 billion they spent on it, and they're just not investing. I don't think it's the entire metaverse, but it is the part where people would like hang out. So pretty important.
A
So
couple of years
$80
ago,
down the drain. Yeah, 404 Media reported on this.
couple of years ago, I was at a Collision conference in downtown Toronto, and they were talking about the metaverse and what it would be like inside the metaverse. They expected us to purchase clothing, to purchase
Yes, I remember that.
designer faces for our avatars, to really have an in-app purchase experience the entire time we were in there.
By the way, if you want some fun reporting on this, go to 404 Media, make yourself a free account because the guy's like, when they announced it, I wrote like, Fantasy World of Facebook is not a horrible company. And then later he said, I checked what I wrote after that. The future Zuckerberg went on to pitch was a delusional fever dream, compared to most obviously the dystopian science fiction and misleading or outright fabricated virtual reality product pitches. They're a new independent journalist, very good though, and they write like kind of with a flair, make things more interesting sometimes. So it's a good article about it.
I understand what he was trying to do, but William Gibson's cyberspace is not what the metaverse was going to be. He wants all the technologists want to create cyberspace, but they just don't know how to quite get us there.
Well, here's the thing though. The people, like I said this when this first came out, Zuckerberg never created anything, right? They took that technology in college about rape the girls, right? So he was able to make it into something, and he was very good at that, and he can never be removed as the head of
Well,
Facebook, no
and
matter
there's
what
people
happens.
who suggest he stole the entire concept of Facebook from the
There definitely
Winklevoss
are.
twins.
There definitely are. I don't remember how that court case was decided, sadly, because it's been a while and my brain is full of new information.
It
But
was decided against the Winklevoss twins and in Zuckerberg's favor, which is why he's still doing what he's doing and why they're not.
but my point of this is there are CEOs who didn't create anything who try to go create something really big, and then it's like, but you don't know how to do that because you never did that. You took something and made it bigger, right? But you didn't create it. You didn't go through that phase of creating a product and an MVP and going through like the funding and all those things that people do when they first start a product. So I didn't think this was going to be successful to begin with because he doesn't give up control over what he does to other people. And I mean, he's not the best at the social world. We all know that. So.
From this one angle alone, it's probably good that it didn't work out. Apparently, Meta, like, could you imagine the metaverse and how that
Yeah.
would have to operate? It would have to be really open to AI agents, and that would happen. It's the only way that that kind of space could operate and be functional at that scale. It would have to be open to AI agents moving forward, eh? But apparently Meta is having big problems with rogue AI agents.
Which is common,
Well,
yeah.
which is common, but Meta, like think of who they are. They're your Instagram account. They're all the photos you've ever had for the last 20 years. They're your connection with your grandma and grandpa. I mean, like,
Their AI developers are compensated sometimes at $1 billion. That's a legitimate. If anyone hears that and goes,
okay, yeah,
"What?"
sure.
Yes, we've done the stories on it. Certain they were poaching each other's from different AI companies, and he poached with $1 billion compensation packages. And even they can't solve the rogue AI agent problem, which is why we always tell people if you're going to run these things, do it on a machine that's isolated, not and doesn't have anything else open. Because apparently the AI agent went rogue at Meta, exposing sensitive company and user data to employees who did not have permission to access it. And the original article here is in the information. But a Meta employee posted on an internal forum asking for help with a technical question. Basically, what happened? So
It
the
was
agent
an
did not
actual
give good
employee. It was
information.
an agent doing it as an employee.
Yes, exactly. And we gave bad advice. And then it just cascaded from there. So again, always be careful with agents because these companies are selling them like they're the next big thing and there's nothing to worry about. And it's like, how many times McKinsey, like someone did it for them, White Hat hacked them, but oh my gosh, it had every piece of information McKinsey ever had about every client, internal chats and documents. The country of Mexico, there was what, 150,000 exposed, citizens information. Like, the AI agent is a security endpoint which cannot currently be properly controlled. So be very careful with these, because if you're a smaller company, Facebook couldn't handle it, McKinsey couldn't handle it, the country of Mexico couldn't handle it. So be very, very careful.
Moving on really quickly. This is almost a heartwarming story. Do you remember the heartwarming story of the student who received a weird text from a grandmother around Thanksgiving inviting him to
Yes.
Thanksgiving, but it was the wrong she texted
This
the wrong person, but now
yeah.
they've made a lifelong friendship?
Yeah, he's come. This was like a few years back, and he's come every year since. I've seen the video interview with them. It's so sweet.
So this happened because somebody texted a random stranger. And somehow they just clicked and they found each other as, very good friends. A study has shown from the University of British Columbia that first semester college students who texted another first semester college student every day for the first couple of weeks, they experienced a significant reduction in feelings of loneliness. At the same time, they had other students having conversations with chatbots over Discord. And well, it reduced loneliness. It reduced loneliness by substantially less than by texting randos, just random folks
Right.
out there.
Yeah. Well, this was a university controlled study. So there were people that were enrolled in college and like picked for the program. So people don't think they just told them to like randomly text anyone. But also that they found out in the research, because there's other additional study here as well, that over time though, the loneliness increased with the chatbot, where the satisfaction of being less lonely was better with the human contact.
There
So
you
they
go.
didn't, yeah. So short-term interaction with a chatbot might improve your feelings of not being as lonely a little bit, but long-term you'll feel more lonely according to these studies than you would if you talk to a human. So it's kind of a pretty cool idea. And can I just throw one thing out there? It's totally not this story, but it's about this loneliness problem. In Vegas, it's really big to have board gaming groups and board gaming like places and board gaming conferences. And I really think if someone took that idea and ran with it, some money and backing, and created like communities of board gamers around the country, they'd find people are much less lonely. Because you don't have to talk at a board game, right? Go in, you play the game, leave. You don't want to talk, you don't have to talk to a single person. But over
There's
time, they'll
board
get
game.
to know those people.
There are board game cafes in almost every major city now. Toronto's got three of them.
But no one's ever like coordinated as a like effort like getting people together. It's like, you go if you want to go. I just think that would be pretty cool. Anyway. But yeah, if talking to a human is better than talking to a chatbot.
Okay. So, based on a law in the UK, Google is developing an opt-out for generative AI features in search. This is a response to the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, which requires fairness across search. Now, remember, you actually can opt out of generative AI features in search. And you can opt your site and your information out, but you have to opt everything out. In this case, this will allow you to turn. Well, is this about allowing you to turn off AI features in your search results?
No, this is AI features, and well, it lets sites specifically opt out of generated AI features.
Okay, yeah,
So,
indeed. So, which is good because currently the only way to do it is to use your robot's text to keep all the crawlers out.
yeah, which would be very bad for your website because you'd have no traffic. By the way, this is in Search Engine Roundtable. Google developing opt out of generated AI features. And we had done a story not that long ago about being requested to by the same group, the CMA. But
And
they said it would be very difficult and they don't know if they could do it. But now apparently they have decided, probably from their legal team, that they need to go ahead and let website owners have the right to control and manage how their content is used.
yeah, the development team got together and we decided that our lawyers told us we could get it done after all. Yeah.
Yeah, I've worked with those companies. Like, lawyers are like, oh no, that thing that you wanted to do or didn't think you could do, you're going to do it, or you're not
Yeah,
going to do it
my
because we
lawyer
said
said it
so.
wouldn't be so hard after all. Not as hard as
Exactly.
okay, so
Exactly.
if you like me are use Google Workspace apps and yeah, I've got the whole suite going, you're about to get a major Gemini powered upgrade.
Well, you have to
And
opt
I'm
into it, though.
sorry.
You have to opt into it. It's not automatic.
Well, actually, it is and it isn't. They are pushing Gemini like you wouldn't believe on every Chrome window you can possibly get near. If you got a Chrome window open, you now have a very large Ask Gemini bug up in the top right-hand corner.
But the Gemini across Google Workspace, that requires you to allow them to enter the AI into all your connected accounts, your Gmail, your Sheets, your Docs, all of those things. They say they will
And
not
one.
be training on those,
But
but
I get, you know what, they have to be. Well, it's not really
they're training
training
on your
because.
prompts. They're training on your prompts and things of that nature, which
Yeah.
is kind of weird to me. But yeah, so this will depend if you want. I mean, you can already use these features individually. This is just going to connect it all to the Gemini features. And so it'll be in Slides, Sheets, Gmail, Google Meet, Google Drive, and then you
No.
just connect the calendar. You just connect it in one place.
They will be training on your file structure. They will understand what your files look like, where things are. They might not be taking that information and throwing it into the Gemini knowledge base. But if I want to take something that I've written a year and a half ago, it has to know where to find it.
And also, it can grab information across platform. I'm going to say platforms or products.
Now,
So, like,
across
was
Google
it?
products. So if I'm in Gmail and
Yeah.
I want something out of Google Docs, how can it not have
Don't you?
trained? I mean, like, what, how are you doing this, Google? Cool trick.
Yeah. So they can grab relevant. Let's say you want something from your Gmail chat and drive. It can turn it into a fully structured spreadsheet, help you visualize data by generating charts and graphs. There's a lot of features here. There's an article in TechCrunch about the best features in Gemini Workspace. Too much to go over here. We'd be talking for 30 minutes. But I would just tell people you just have to make that decision if you want Google to have access to all those things. Because we don't have perfect records when large companies have access to massive data that we control. So, but that's up to you. If you feel comfortable with it, it sounds like it could be very helpful. If you're not,
I honestly don't see how they're not training on it. They're just not training Gemini on it. But the
yeah.
piece of Google that's dedicated to you and your profile, I
Yeah,
think this is Google doublespeak here.
they are saying that they're testing on prompts and responses, but not necessarily your personal information. But if you're prompting and getting a response, then there's personal information in there. So yeah, it's Google doublespeak. Yeah.
Okay, so an SEO test has shown, and we've known this. I mean, there was the test of fake products through AI. How easy it is to rank misinformation in Google search and in AI overviews.
Yeah, now originally, and the very first person that did this was not an SEO, and they did it when ChatGPT first came out, and they did white on white text. And when they were training on anything you put into ChatGPT, they were able to show that it would easily go into the model. So this is like the SEO version of it. But the person made a mistake. They made a LinkedIn. By the way, if you write a LinkedIn article, it will show often in Google search for a search query in the hidden gems portion of the page, which is meant to surface user-generated content from a few sites. But he made a mistake in it and left it in to see what Google would do with it. And his article began ranking on the first page. That's actually not that abnormal because they don't mention in the article about the hidden gems feature, but that's a special spot, like videos, to rank those pages. But it also showed up in the AI overview.
A few months ago, didn't we report on somebody creating a fake product? I think they were insanely expensive paperweights. Like it was an
Yeah,
absurd product.
and then there was a mathematician who wrote an article, and there was a mistake in the article, and so Bing picked it up, and then Bing started generating it in their overviews for that math equation. Like it was this really crazy hard problem for mathematicians to solve. So yeah, this is not new, but I think it's new to the SEO industry that it's this easy. I will say, I do not think I wrote this probably a year ago on LinkedIn. I don't think that the large language models outside of Google and Bing are prepared for the amount of spam they're about to receive, because this isn't something that was well known to our industry and the tangential industry of affiliate marketing, which is not SEO. It gets confused a lot in the news for SEO. But they do use SEO and they do use black hat methods. And I have a feeling that they're not ready for the amount of slop they're going to find, because the large language models just read text as text and ingest it. So imagine you've got 60,000 link sites to sell links, and you go, hey, I'm just going to put this product as the best one in the world. And then all of a sudden, large language models see that all the time, and that becomes the best product in the world. I don't know if it's going to be that easy, but it's probably not going to be much harder.
Well, I mean, I think we're entering the new era of cat and mouse. And I think the spammers are going to have an advantage until the folks at the generative engines figure out how to guardrail against them.
Yeah, and also people think, well, can't Google just fact check? No, they can't. In fact, Google responded into a letter written to them by the Deputy Director General under the Content and Technology Arm of the European Commission. Google's Global Affairs President Kent Walker said that fact checking integration required by the Commission's new disinformation code of practice isn't appropriate or effective for our services. Google will not commit to it. Google said for many years there is no way to really do it. In fact, they had their research department try to find an effective way to do fact checking, and they determined it was too cost prohibitive to be able to do that. So this is an article in Search Engine Journal by Roger Monti. SEO test shows it's trivial to rank misinformation on Google. So we're going to see what happens, but I think it's going to be, I just don't think that the large language models were are prepared.
Well,
The
again,
PPC, I don't mean paid. Sorry, go ahead.
it wasn't hard to rank false information under the old system at Google either. You really needed to build authority, pump the links into it, have a couple other websites that sort of verified what you were saying, and
But you just had to
Bob's your
put
uncle.
effort into it. Not to
Yeah.
put effort into it anymore. Like, let me just put
Okay.
all this white on white text at 6 points.
Remember a few beats ago, I was talking about the Ask Gemini bug that's appeared in the top right of my screen, and it's there.
Yes.
I mean, everywhere I go inside the Googleverse, it's there. Chrome, Google, what have you. So it's turned off by default, and you're gonna have to choose to turn this on yourself. But Google's got a feature called Personal Intelligence that sort of weaves together. Basically, it's your AI, your personal AI mode, in Search Gemini app, Google Chrome, and it's all the stuff that you've sort of like done before that is recorded on your hard drive or in your resident memory or whatever. Google is in your photos, in your bookmarks, what have you. If Google can find this information about something you were looking for and tie it into a query that you have going now, it's gonna.
Yeah,
If
you
you
have to
opt
give it
in.
permission. Yeah, you have to give it permission to go to your apps, just like the workspace we were just talking about. The one it says, like, now instead of like just knowing that you went on a trip, it can find a photo that you placed with tires. And Google, when they talk about this stuff, I just don't find it works that well in practice. The Google Lens I was excited for, right? Because I could like use it and find out things, the information when I'm out and about, right? But it primarily pushes products. It's usually not very correct, and it's just like, I don't know. We'll see. Like the thing, the selling point here is you're planning a search on vacation and search for things to do and places to eat, and we look through your memories and we recommend those. And maybe if there's a sign there, they can recognize it well, or it's a really well-established landmark. But if you're like driving down the suburbs of Vegas, going to a pub, which is where most people find the best food, they're not going to likely recognize it from a photo you took, you know. And they said, like, if you're at a tire shop and don't remember your car's tire size, an AI chatbot can help determine it. But with personal intelligence, Gemini can go further by suggesting all weather tires after recognizing family road trip photos in your Google Photos. What if I took hundreds of pictures of cars because it was a car show? You
Yeah,
know,
thanks,
so
Google.
yeah, it's so
Yeah.
They sell it in one way, but we'll see if it actually works that way. If it works that way, it's good for people who want to connect their apps. I'm still a little suspicious of connecting all my apps to Google in one place, but.
We've covered this sort of story before, but again, another fairly large
Specific.
survey that
Yeah.
shows definitive results, this time from a group called the Define Media Group. If you're a publisher and you think you're losing clicks, you really are. AI Overviews has apparently cut search to publishers by 42%. However, breaking news traffic has jumped by 103%, and Discover clicks are surging. So what Google taketh away en masse, it kind of sort of gives back a little bit on the other side.
Yeah, so and their study was from November 24 through early 2026.
So that's a long
So
period.
yeah, it's a long period. And it is interesting because Google Discover grew 30% across the portfolio sites that they were tracking. The main and that's also the main growth engine for breaking news distribution. The problem with that is Google Discover traffic is so unreliable. I've worked with multiple publishers, including like Vice Media and Spin. You'll get like really good Discover traffic for a couple of weeks and suddenly it just falls off and you didn't change anything, but Google's just algorithms working maybe a bit differently. But it is good to hear that at least breaking news, which is the majority of traffic for a website anyways, for a publisher. But if you're syndicating news, like your smaller site or a local site, then you might have a problem because it's looking for original content and it's looking for unique content and breaking news content. So you need to make sure it's good content, not just syndicated from somebody else's site.
Okay. If you are a publisher and you're looking for a little bit of clarity here, the Google News support team is still telling you to go seek out Danny Sullivan, the search liaison, even though there hasn't actually been a search liaison, because Danny Sullivan quit that job in August 2025.
Yeah. And
So
it's a
Google News
broken
hasn't
link
changed
too.
its website yet.
Yeah, and it's a broken link too, which is even worse.
Oh, no
They
way,
tell you to
really?
contact, yeah, they tell you to contact Danny, but the link doesn't work. So
Does it
internally
just
they
form
removed
four, or
him.
does it like go somewhere?
No, just 404. So my guess
Oh.
is it used to go to like his email or something. You know, but now it doesn't go anywhere. So.
Okay, well, so don't consult Search Liaison if you're a publisher looking to get information on Google News, because Search Liaison is just going to 404 you. He ain't there. Write
That's
to
fair.
I
Kind
actually write to John Mueller, and then we'll
of, yeah.
report on it with a good laugh.
And then this next story, I'm sorry, I kind of
Jump
interjected
in.
it into the last story. This is just the same thing we were talking about, but it has a little more detail. AI search barely cites, and this isn't Google search, this is all AI search, barely cites syndicated news or press releases. So the study found they used XOFU, a citation monitoring tool from the Citation Labs. Have you used that before?
I
Just
have
haven't heard of it.
not. I would definitely remember a tool, XOFU.
Right.
Absolutely remember it.
Hugs and kisses, FU is what I'm reading this. But anyway, the news publications, so they ran 3,600 prompts across 10 industries and collected data for just a week. But they found that the citation rates were pretty low, except again, in breaking news original content. Original content, editorial content made up 81% of news citations in the data set. So how they know it's original editorial content? Well, my guess would be there's either the schema or the H structure of your web page. And then affiliate and review content accounted for the rest. Remember we talked about spam in the article before that? Affiliate has got a high level of citations. So that's kind of me.
Okay,
Yeah, and
moving.
it held it. Go ahead. What?
Well, I was going to say moving along. Jumping to the AI overviews, appearing at 14% of shopping queries, according to Jeff Oxford of Visibility Labs. 14% of shopping queries are now producing AI overviews. That's
And
up
that's
from
up,
5. I'm
yeah.
sorry, that's up from 2.1% in November 2025.
Yeah, e-commerce brands have been mostly unaffected by AI-driven click loss and search prior to this, but we know AI overviews showing up, that will change things. And that's probably in preparation for the agent that they want to run in the background, because no longer would you have to finish the purchase on the site, you would finish it with the AI agent, which they haven't released yet, but I'm guessing this is step one. What do you think, Jim?
And remember the commerce protocol protocols coming along, like in SERP shopping, in SERP
Yeah.
purchase is coming. That's exactly what this
Yeah.
is about.
Yeah, that's what I think it's about too. So this is an article in Search Engine Land.
Okay. Now, this one I'm very appreciative of. I am a sports fanatic. Baseball season, it's all about the Blue Jays. Hockey season, sadly, it's all about the Leafs. Basketball is all about the Raptors. I'm really, really, really into my sports teams, and I'm doing searches. I'm on my computer all the time. So in the middle of a game, I'm probably working or writing or something instead of watching the game. And so like to have it either playing on a side monitor or at least be able to see the score just by searching for it. Live sports data is coming to Google AI mode. That's a good
Yeah,
thing.
and I don't really watch many sports, but when the Knights, Golden Knights are playing hockey, I will check in there.
Yeah,
So
well, it's
yeah,
good
it's a good
hockey.
thing. Yeah,
Go
I
Mitch
think the
Marner.
issue is
Go Mitch
good.
Marner.
Exactly.
This is a cool one. This is an a this actually we should have probably led with this one much higher in the story lineup, because this is something that will screw up any SEO at some time or another in their career.
This one surprised me too. At first, I thought it was a dose story, but it's not.
No, this really you will. I've never dropped out of search results, jumping from migrating a site to secure server HTTPS. And who has to do that anymore, really?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised that this is recent.
But an HTTPS migration will. I've had sites radically lower in the rankings and then pop back up again. Never jump out of the rankings. That hasn't happened, but I could see it happening, I suppose, if you mess up your 301s. But yeah, you could have a negative impact if you screw up the 301s. You have a terribly negative
Well,
impact.
and John was asked, because this was a John question. It said it's like a site migration. All URLs have to be recognized, recrawled, and reprocessed individually. So if the move was only a few days ago, you need to give it time to recover. In particular, they were asking about using the URL removal tool to get rid of the HTTP URLs. He said, don't do that. Yeah, definitely don't do that. Since it'll also remove hide the HTTPS URLs. The other thing, though, I tell people is anytime you do a major site migration, redesign, a move, Google reassesses your entire site. So prior to that, they may not have been reassessing site parts of the site that don't change very often. And so you want to make sure before you do any major move that you have audited your site, that you have fixed your issues, you don't do any major changes right before that move, because those often take weeks to like fully kick in. Because that could be the other reason you lose your traffic, is because Google has now reassessed everything, recrawled everything, and it didn't measure up, because the site's 50, I'm not saying this site has this problem, but this site is 15 years old. So it could have a lot of cruft on it that could cause Google to derank its by quality assessment.
So, to paraphrase what Christine said, sometimes Google forgets you got a problem because it hasn't recrawled that page in like forever. When
Yeah.
you do your migration, you're going to force it to crawl your entire website again.
And we see it in the big core updates, not the Discover one. You'll see that the issue usually isn't because I audit these and recover them. It's usually very large and been on the site a very long time. Google just didn't encounter it because it wasn't crawling the site fully. And then in the core update, it crawls the entire site and drops the site down. So,
Okay. Are local PACs losing their call buttons? A small biz edge study points to Google showing less call buttons in local PACs. Didn't we say that Google was taking the call button out of Google Local?
yeah, prior there had been some reports on it, but Google didn't have an answer. But now, officially, this is from Joy Hawkins. Yeah, so she's saying a study of 2,580 search results showed that only 510 had a call button. So, I mean, this is just, I don't know who's doing the map. Like, even if you look at the image that we have in front of us, you'll notice there's also not the hours of the place, it just says open. I told you, like last time, I had to go through like six clicks to get to the hours of the business. Why would you remove a call button?
Well,
Right?
we heard
Like,
Google was doing this, and I don't know why. Is it like maybe people don't use phones anymore? I don't know.
It's a crazy thing to remove because then the person has to go search for it in the map or like do a Google search for it. It's like, I don't know. But anyways, Google has been removing them because only 510 out of 2,500 searches had a call button.
So, okay, John Mueller, who a man who loves to walk on thin ice, revealed how, if you wanted to, you could disavow an entire top-level domain and everything
They
from
don't
that
mean, yeah.
TLD.
So if people don't work in the technical side, they may not know. They mean the entire dot XYZ, the entire dot info, the entire dot org. Nobody with those would be able to reach your site.
Well, that
I mean, all
okay.
your links, I'm sorry, all your links would be removed. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just looking at the next line where John is like, okay, this is a very big hammer. No,
Yeah,
it's
and it.
a bazooka with a flamethrower attached.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, it's I don't know why you would do this because
Neither
everybody
do
has
I,
to.
because the bazooka shell is supposed to go a million miles over there and the flamethrower only goes a little bit. Why would you do
Yeah.
that?
And they were asking why it was not documented in Google documentation. And John's like, well, it could be very bad.
A little bit of knowledge could be very dangerous.
Yeah, he
Okay,
says, I
so
wouldn't recommend doing that. It makes no sense.
why would you not disavow an entire top level domain, Christine?
Okay, well, people might see Russian links, right, that are used in the United States. And like, why am I getting Russian links? I'll just get rid of that .ru. But unless you have a massive link issue, which is rare, those are adding to your link profile, maybe minorly. But if you have like 10 different TLDs that are giving you link value and you disavow the TLDs, you remove all that link value. Also, anybody who would ever link to you from those TLDs. So like, it's just, yeah.
And if Google didn't like the link, more often than
It
not, it just ignores
erases
it. It
it.
doesn't really
Yeah.
care.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm surprised. I have never heard of anybody saying you could
Now,
do this. It does make sense, but I'm guessing because no one would do this. Yeah.
way back
No
in the day,
analyst.
way back in the day, Google held you very responsible for the links that came into your website. And if there was like, say you had a site, like you had a hamburger stand or something, and you had, a bunch of kids coming to your hamburger stand, you had a bunch of porn sites directing, linking into your hamburger website. Google would probably treat your hamburger website badly because of those porn links.
Yes.
Some unscrupulous SEOs said, "Hey, I could really mess over my competition and links and what was that? What was it? Link bombing? Link spam?" Was born. What was it
You
called?
could,
The
it
technique?
was kids
It's so old,
don't
I don't even
remember.
remember.
Yeah, it was called a negative SEO. There's not a lot of
There
negative
you go.
SEO anymore, though it has started resurfacing with AI. But also you can do it to yourself. Remember, I have that company. It was a $2 billion e-commerce company, very well known, that had the ability to create a page from search. And so a bunch of porn spammers put like a bunch of pages on the site with their porn spam in the title, description, H1, and URL because that's what it accepted when it created a page. And then they put 13 million Russian porn spam links towards those pages. And Google goes, well, the pages match the link. So, okay. So we ranked for that porn site. Yeah, I fixed that. But
Well, if the link comes from your own domain, Google will probably
well,
look at it very differently.
not our domain. No, it came from the Russian porn spam links to our domain, but they had created pages through the site search because they were indexable. But the point being is Google normally now, I mean, this one they didn't because they matched, but generally they're going to disavow him. But there'd be no reason I wouldn't go now after that happened to disavow the TLD.ru. That would be insane because there are people that buy those products in Russia at the time. This is years ago. Before the war, and they would buy products of Russia at the time. So why would you want to get rid of someone linking to you with a good review or from a website? You just wouldn't. So don't do it. It's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Okay, quick stories. We're going to try to get through these as fast as we can because we have gone full clock in a little bit. Bing has an image slider in Bing Brits' profile local panel. It's showing photos from the business profile, and it'll let you slide through those images on the search result page so you can see photos of the business you wish to visit.
Exactly. That's it. That's just as, it works just like you think it would. Google
Very
appears to have
nice of
added a
them.
stores tab to its Google Shopping experience. So you can see it now if you go to Google Shopping and actual Google Shopping where the logo says Google Shopping. It will show you the stores tab, which is it just actually stores and brings up a map. It's not the same as the nearby filter. The nearby filter just adds nearby to your search term and then gives you different results. This is just stores that it finds in your area.
Okay. If you're searching for the Instagram profile of a well-known person, Google will actually create the individual's knowledge panel and promote an Instagram card higher in that panel, but it'll show the knowledge panel for that person.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that big block of information you see at the top of a search page about somebody.
That's very cool of them.
Yes. Google search your related activity ads chart. Do you use this at all? The look at your related activity where it shows what you searched for in a timeline on the right side.
I have not. No,
Well, I don't
actually, I
use
have not.
it because it doesn't really like it takes up a lot of screen space for me because I only have one screen. Maybe if I had two screens. But it's now showing a chart that will show you your past searches and your related activity to those searches in the search results. I'm not sure really what the chart adds to it, but
How
it's just
many
a chart
times did I look up
itself.
my ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
That
But
many, oh my God.
it takes up a lot of space at the top of the page. But your related activity can be helpful because it'll go through everything you look for. So if you're doing like a research project, you could go back to like the last 5 days I've been researching this. You could go back and click through the links that you've been looking for.
Now, what I want to know is how many people have been looking at my Instagram profile and who are those people? That's what I want to know.
I'll have to go see if I have an Instagram profile because the only way that would happen is if someone, I'm not notable on Instagram. This is, I just have to do this one, Jim, because do you use Instagram?
Rarely, but yes, I did.
Okay, so I have to do this one because I cannot believe it took this long to add this feature. So in the morning, I will turn on, my headphones and I will go through like Instagram for stories and stuff. But you can't pause them. They just keep playing. They just go mute. So it's like, I want to pause this because there's a new story on the TV I want to hear. I can't do that. I have to hit mute and then it just runs over and over and over again till you unhit pause. I mean, unhit the mute. It now has a pause for Reels with a single tap. I don't know why it was ever developed without a pause. I have no idea. But yay. So starting today, you can now pause your Reels with a single tap. I
Okay.
know if you don't use it, Jim, it probably doesn't matter. But imagine going through like the short videos you go through and never being able to pause one. Basically what they were doing. So
I'm trying to get away from those short videos. Honest to goodness, those things are
I know you're
addictive, and
addicted.
addiction is a bad thing. So, I've been
Well,
addicted to a lot of stuff in my life. I do not want to be addicted to digital short reels.
So we have two quick end stories. I thought this was just interesting. This is 404 Media again. They report on some really interesting individual things. There's a city that Google couldn't map. It's the only city in Google Maps that they couldn't map in Street View. And because all the streets are technically owned by individuals in the city, the way the city works is the people grant them an easement to you to create a road, and then it's all private property. But they didn't want it to be all private property. I'm like where they couldn't see it themselves. So a guy took a drone and went over the city, and they were able to develop a map view because you can do a drone over a city because that's not public property. If you're on the ground, it's public with a car. But if you're in the
So,
sky, it is not.
this is the city of North Oaks, Minnesota, where some really, really, really rich folk lives. Executives, CEOs, Walter Mondale, United Healthcare executives, Target executives, folks who don't want to be targeted.
Yeah, but in this case, they actually did because they didn't have any maps for their area. But you're right, they didn't want like their houses necessarily seen. They just wanted their roads mapped. So anyway, I thought it was really interesting. He just took the footage, uploaded it to Google Maps. It was legal because he's a licensed drone pilot and he was in public space over the area. And he stepped outside the boundary of the actual, with his drone, outside the boundaries of the actual houses and put it up there. So that's pretty cool.
So the government has registered aliens.gov. Donald Trump is
Yes.
going to release everything the government has on aliens. all of whom are totally aware of what's in the Epstein file. The aliens are 100% aware of what's in the Epstein file, and Donald Trump is talking about releasing or registering aliens.gov and releasing alien files because he doesn't want you to think about him diddling children, as will be found
No,
in the
that's
Epstein
very
files.
true. That's very true. Interesting. Also, I did not hear this report, but remember last year how there was all this thing about releasing alien files and stuff, and then it kind of died down. I thought it just died down for lack of interest. But the Wall Street Journal reported that much of the information that was released was connected to a disinformation campaign and an elaborate Pentagon hazing ritual for probably people inside the
If
military.
I remember correctly, they talked about aliens last year when there was deep criticism of Trump's tariff policies. Suddenly, we were talking about aliens instead.
Yeah,
This
but
again,
every
this is all about distracting people to have them not talk about Epstein or the war.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course, 100%. But it is funny that they registered a domain. If anything will ever appear on it, who knows? They've done this before just to distract people, and then the thing doesn't actually happen. And also, like we said, most of the ones that were already released were considered part of a disinformation campaign or Pentagon hazing ritual with I'm gonna guess Air Force people. And I used to know a guy, I dated a guy who was a navigator on C-130s for the UK government. And he would see things in the sky all the time. So I imagine that's probably where the prank went. So
I've known many people who see things in the sky fairly frequently as well, but they're on drugs.
I know he was definitely not on drugs. But
Yeah.
he
Okay,
didn't say there were UFOs either. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
that is it. We have gone full clock and then some. So on behalf of Christian Chackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, and you've been listening to Webcology on WMR.fm. Recorded live to podcast on the 19th of March, 2026. Special thanks to Audience Key and to Wix Studio. They're our sponsors. Check them out. They're both incredible products. Special thanks to Brasco and to Ricky in the studio, to Darren and Brandy in the office, and to you folks for listening, for putting up with me and Christine all this time. Friends, it's a really messed up time in the world, so be nice to each other, be kind, be patient, be good with your clients, rank well, go get yourself a technical audit, and we will talk to you next week.
Hi, everybody.